Tonight we're going to continue our study of the Old Testament book by book. And as we made mention this morning, we will examine an overview of the book of Obadiah tonight. The book of Obadiah is, in fact, the shortest book in the Old Testament, being all of 21 verses. And it is one of only seven books in the Old Testament, that is not referred to in the New Testament. And I listed those for you. Those other books are the books of Nahum, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. Those are the only books that are not referred to in the New Testament from the Old Testament. Yes?
421.
I thought that was one that I wasn't familiar with anyway. Okay. 421 will be our Song of Invitation. Thank you. The book of Obadiah is written by Obadiah, as far as we can tell. We're not exactly sure as to when he wrote it, because we're not exactly sure as to when he lived. But there appears to be indications from the book and from the history, when we put the books together from what is recorded, that probably it was written somewhere around 845 BC, which would make it one of the earliest of the prophetic books that was written by one of the prophets. It is written to the Edomites, and that will become significant as we go through the book. The purpose of the book is basically twofold. One is to prophesy concerning the coming destruction of the nation of Edom. And Obadiah writes both to warn Edom of the coming destruction, but also to comfort those of Judah concerning what is going to take place into the future. Now, Edom, the Edomites, are descendants of Esau. And so that immediately tells you, reminds you that the Edomites are cousins to the Jews. And the overthrow of Edom, Esau's descendants, was predicted several times in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 34, Jeremiah chapter 49, Ezekiel 25, Amos chapter 1, and other places. Now, all of these references do not necessarily have reference to just one overthrow. The indication is that Edom was overthrown more than once because of their political stands. But certainly all of these speak concerning the fact that Edom would be overthrown. And Edom's destruction was certain. It was certain because it was divine punishment from God over, or as a result of, their pride and their cruelties, their lack of brotherliness that they showed to the Jews. And so as a result of all of these things, Obadiah brings out, they are going to suffer destruction. But a second purpose for the book is to affirm God's law of retribution. And with this, Obadiah says, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto you." We would put it in our terms, you get what you sow. And that's exactly what God, through the prophet Obadiah, is saying to those of Edom. And Obadiah brings out that God's hand is, in fact, against those of Edom because of their evil. But he also brings out that God's hand is always against evil in every place. And so in Obadiah's vision, concerning Judah, he sees the restoration of Judah when they go into captivity, as they will do. But again, remembering, if this book is written about 845 BC, it's going to be almost 250 years before they go into captivity. But they will return from that captivity. And yet, we see that God's delivering or vengeful love for his people is demonstrated as well as prophesied about here in this particular book. Concerning the background for the book of Obadiah, the man Obadiah, His Hebrew name means servant of the Lord. And we really do not know much else about him. There's nothing definite that is given to us in Scripture concerning this prophet. He is one of 13 men in the Old Testament by the name of Obadiah. And it may very well be that Obadiah is in fact one of those other 13 men. We just simply don't know for sure. There are some that speculate that he may be the Obadiah that was sent out by King Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, in order to revive the spirit of true worship in the land of Judah, as exposition in order to give an exposition of the law, 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 7, which would have also made him a contemporary of Elijah and Elisha, who were already prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel at that particular time. And so it may very well be, and that certainly fits into the time period of what we said this probably was written during that time period of 845 BC, somewhere in that area. And so it appears that there is good probability that this would have been the time that Obadiah lived. As far as the book is concerned, Obadiah warns Edom concerning the folly of pride and of their self-trust. And certainly he warns them concerning the divine judgment that is to come because of their pride and their self-trust. And Obadiah appeals to Judah as well as to all people that God's judgments are in fact right, and his providence is over all nations and all men. The Edomites themselves. The word Edom simply means red, just as Esau means red. And Edom occupied a narrow mountainous strip of territory about 110 miles long, 30 miles wide, on the eastern side of the Palestinian valley, and it was bound on the east by the desert. Seir is another name for Edom, given to it because of Mount Seir, that was the most prominent part of the mountain range anyway. And there is some evidence that the original inhabitants were the Horites that we talked about Wednesday night in studying Genesis, that means cave dwellers. And certainly that comes into play with Edom as well. The capital appears to be, anciently anyway, the city of Bozrah. During Obadiah's time, it was the city of Selah, which will later become known as the city of Petra. The rock rimmed of the fortress was such that there in the midst of Mount Seir, it gave the Edomites an impregnable defense for anyone who might try to consider conquering them. And it was because of that, because of its location, because of the mountains, because of the fortress that they had built within the mountains, that they determined they were undefeatable. No one could get into them in order to bring them down. The descendants of Esau were, in fact, proud, as well as bitter and resentful. And when you read concerning them, that is brought out over and over again, and especially here in the book of Obadiah. The enmity that existed between Israel and Edom goes all the way back to the prenatal struggle between Jacob and Esau in the womb, Genesis chapter 25, verse 22. Brother Johnny Ramsey refers to the history of Edom as the high cost of a bowl of soup. And certainly that's true when you remember what Esau did with his birthright, in selling it off to Jacob for a bowl of pottage. Esau's descendants became a very base and worldly nation. They lacked spirituality just as Esau lacked it, which was the very reason as to why he sold his birthright. He could see absolutely no benefit, no use to having that. It didn't help him out at all as far as he was concerned, and therefore was worthless. Their hatred for Israel was perpetual. It just continued on and on and on and on. And even though David conquered their territory, 2 Samuel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, later they revolted against Israel, against Judah, and they reflected their sinful pride and their godless defiance as a result of that. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 tells us that they became idolaters, and certainly we can understand where that would be the case, noting their dispositions and attitudes. Some of the crimes the Edomites were guilty of, according to Scripture, during the wilderness wanderings, you may remember that those of Edom refused to permit the Israelites to pass through their land, Numbers chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. During the reign of Jehoshaphat in about 914 B.C., they attempted to invade Judah, but they failed in doing such. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 22. In 586 B.C., they joined with the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar to siege as well as to capture Judah, and they cheered on the Babylonians as they went against the city of Jerusalem in order to show their disrespect for the Jews. Amos chapter 1, verse 11, and the 137th Psalm, verse 1. Under the reign of the Persian Empire, with Cyrus and the others, the territory of Edom became a province called Idumea. Idumea is simply the Greek form of the Hebrew Edom. And from Idumea will come Antipater. And Antipater is the father of Herod the Great. So as a result of that, the Herods are Idumeans. Herod the Great, Archelaus, Antipas, Philip, Agrippa, all of them mentioned in the Scriptures in the New Testament, they are all Idumeans, and therefore distant relatives of the Jews through Esau. When the Romans conquered Palestine in 63 B.C., Caesar placed Herod over Judah to reign as its king, as it were, though he is subservient to Caesar himself. And such would remain throughout the New Testament times. After the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70, the Idumeans disappeared completely from history. We have no other reference at all. And in fact, the last reference we have to those of Idumea is when Agrippa II stands as judge over the Apostle Paul. And he is the last and final descendant of Esau that we have any reference to at all. The keys to the book of Obadiah. Key word is the word calamity. The key phrase is, thou shouldest not have done the things that they did, Obadiah 12 through 14. Key verses would be verses 10 and 15. Verse 10 says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. And then in verse 15, Obadiah says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. And so it is the idea, you get what's coming to you, that Obadiah is speaking about. The key chapter. Well, it's kind of hard to choose the key chapter. There's only one, and so it is the key chapter, of course. An outline of the book of Obadiah. The first nine verses, we have the judgment of Edom, the enemies of God's people, being presented. There is the announcement of that judgment by Obadiah himself, verse 1. Verses 2 through 4, the certainty of it in spite of their proud past and their present fornications, God is still going to come against them, and there will be complete annihilation, verses 5 through 9, as a result of it. Verses 10 through 16, we have the justice of God's judgment against Edom, that Edom did violence to and stood aloof from God's people, refusing to help them in times of distress, verses 10 and 11. Verses 12 through 14, Edom gloated over, boasted, rejoiced, as well as looted and cut off the fugitives of God's people in their day of distress. And then verses 15 through 16, that Edom and all peoples who are enemies of God's elect will reap what they have sown. And then the last few verses, 17 through 21, speaks concerning jubilance, that God's elect will in the end be victorious, that they shall receive as well as possess the covenant blessings of God, verses 17, 19, and 20. That they shall in fact conquer their enemies, verse 18. And they shall reign as the redeemed, verse 21. And so with such, you have the outline of the book of Obadiah. Again, with every one of the books, we have tried to point out those things where Christ appears in the book, or reference to the Messiah, the Christ to come. And there are, in fact, two prophetic elements in the book of Obadiah which refer to the Messiah. There is the judgment of Edom, which prophetically, of course, will prefigure the later judgment of all nations with the establishment of the kingdom of God, the messianic kingdom, as is referred to here in verse 15. The captive exiles of Zion will be restored to their home, as we already referred, and it will be out of them, of course, that the Messiah is going to come. The messianic kingdom will come as a result of that, and that is brought out in verse 21. But both of these themes are in fact fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah and the establishment of his kingdom, which is the church, even as we referred to that this morning. Well, what are some of the lessons we can learn from the book of Obadiah? Certainly, first of all, we need to learn concerning the folly of pride, because that is the problem with the Edomites. It is their pride. Edom trusted in her strongholds in the cliffs of the rock, and the Lord said, "I will bring you down." Their strongholds could not stand against God. And when you compare that with Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, and 1 John chapter 2, then you can certainly see the sin of pride as it is brought out. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." There's the Edomites. If you write in the margin of your Bible, there beside Proverbs 16, 18, you can write Edomites. Now, certainly they weren't the only ones that had that problem, and we know that there are still those today that have the problem, but that's an exact description concerning the Edomites. We can also learn from the book of Obadiah that God's providential care is for his people. He uses nations both to punish the wicked as well as to preserve the righteous. And he has always done that and continues to do that. We sing the song, "We cannot pass beyond the sphere of the providence of God," and I believe that. I think you do as well. God's providence continues to exist. Thirdly, we can learn that God judges nations as well as individuals. And this is brought out in the book of Obadiah. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And certainly we need to remember that even in our day and time. 33rd Psalm, and in verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And Psalm 67, verse 4, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." It is such that we also remember, I think anyway, concerning those statements that God makes to Daniel, and how that God is the one who raises kings to sit on thrones, and he also brings them down. And it is important for us to remember he still does that even today. Fourthly, we can learn from the book of Obadiah that one who is an enemy of God's people is an enemy of God. Certainly, this is brought out in the book of Obadiah with the Edomites, but it's brought out in many other passages as well. Remember what he said to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3? I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Why, certainly that is the point. Anybody who speaks against Abram is speaking against God, and God will not let them go unpunished as a result of that. He will not forget it. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 40, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And certainly that sentiment is brought out in the book of Obadiah as well as the entire New Testament. But finally, there is the lesson of hope. There is hope for those who repent of sin and seek God in faithfulness. A remnant would in fact be restored in Judah. Yes, Judah was going to go into captivity. Yes, they were going to go into captivity because of their sin. But yes, it was also such that God promised unconditionally, as we talked about this morning, God promised unconditionally that there would be a remnant that would return and they would be blessed by the Lord. And Obadiah speaks concerning that very same thing. The book of Obadiah shows to us that deliverers will in fact be sent to Edom, speaking concerning the Messianic age, the time of Christ, so that a remnant of Edom will also be saved, even as Amos speaks in Amos chapter 9, verse 12. These saviors, as Obadiah refers to them, are those who were the disciples of Christ, who took the gospel into all the world, and they took it to Edom as well. And some, though there is no indication as to how many, having heard that word, believed it and were converted and thereby able to be saved from their sins, just as those others that we read about in the book of Acts did the very same thing. They were few in number from all indications, because they continued with their pride even until the time of the New Testament, when you have the Herods, who are cousins of the Jews, but they're ruling over the Jews at that particular time under the thumb of Caesar. And so it is such that Obadiah points to the New Testament, points to the time when the Christ would come, when he would set up his kingdom, which would be an everlasting kingdom. Our number is small tonight, but the book of Obadiah has many great lessons even for us tonight. Lessons that we need to learn, as Paul brings out in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, in order to truly know God and to truly know how God thinks and how God feels. It is such that we, as members of the body of Christ, have a way of escape. To, if we have wandered off and gone back into the world, where we can come back in repentance, praying to God for forgiveness of our sins, and once more be in step with God, we too can be the remnant at this particular time in our lives and in our history, if we will be faithful. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to do that at this time, as together we stand and as we sing.